We've been rapidly approaching a hallmark in the Rollmongers notch on the belt, feather in the cap, gentlemen. We started producing pre-post, what do you ever want to call it, pre-production material for a solid year trying to get Mummy's Mask off the ground several years ago. And then we finally launched, I believe it was first few weeks in April 2017. And in that time, we pretty much just had our Rogue One inspired, hey, let's do Dawn of Defiance. And we had much worse microphones, much worse editing techniques by yours truly, still learning, all kinds of stuff. But we had a ball and we're still having fun. We're in our second season. We're, you know, lighting it up. We're trying to get an episode up every week. Then we have Attack of Opportunity, where I've had some of you, as well as myself, interview the content creators that have helped us, people where I've said, hey, can we use your music? Or found that they use their music free and call them up saying, hey, would you like to be on the show? We've interviewed just about every last cast member except one. Mr. Tamlin, you cannot escape the spotlight forever. I recently had Ryan Messina interview Frank Hamilton, My Place. And that brings, besides new cast members like Ashley Pascarello, I really don't know why you guys have trouble with that name. It just flows off the tongue. And Ashley Florence, who will be joining our crew this year, patent pending and interview pending. It leaves you and only you. So I think it's a good idea to jump them now, like right now.
Oh no, the connection.
You know the questions. I'm going to start them, and these guys are going to finish them. Mr. Tamlin, thank you so much for being on the show. Welcome to
Attack of Opportunity.
I have really missed that intro, Matt. Thank you. We've got Matt Witt is in the house. We have Aiden Willems is in the house, and with nowhere to run, Mr. Jay Tamlin is in the hot seat tonight. Jay, when did you first know, because it's the first question that we ask everybody that we get in the chair or the microphone in front of them, when did you first know that you were a geek, a nerd, one of us? Was there a defining moment in your history, your past?
I think a better question for me is, when did I first realize that I wasn't the only one?
Ooh, do tell.
Well, I had grown up kind of in the country, so I didn't really have many people around me. Every once in a while, I'd meet a few people that knew what like Pokemon was or knew what anime was, that kind of thing. But I never really met too many people that were interested in it as much as I was until around halfway through elementary school, actually. It was only by then that people even started showing interest in that in comparison in relation to me. And then it's only then that my friend group started actually kind of growing. So, I mean, to answer your question, I've always been one of us, but it was only like halfway through my life that I realized there was an us to begin with.
So you're saying your immediate family weren't exactly nerdy as yourself?
No, my immediate family, many would consider them I can't even remember the comedian's name at this point. And that really hurts. That really like hurts me. But
Jeff Foxworthy.
Jeff Foxworthy. We have a calendar in our kitchen, and then there's kind of a competition to see who can relate to which particular Jeff. You might be a redneck if joke on the Jeff Foxworthy. You might be a redneck calendar.
They've
got one of them like actually framed and on the wall. And yeah,
you're Canadian like myself. Mm-hmm. Born and bred in Ontario, and have the classic beer drinking, hockey upbringing, far enough north of the city that, you know, somebody in the house owns a gun. Yes, Canadians own guns, but they're rifles, not sidearms, and we go through a whole bunch of permits to get our hands on them. It's not like there's a whole bunch sitting in a box for any random port authority worker to like pick from. Don't ask. I'm going to turn the next set of questions over to Matt Witt and Aiden Wilms. Have at him. Because if I keep going at my son-in-law, then people are going to think I'm just mean. And I'm not that mean. I'm a nice guy.
Not to mention, you know most of the stuff.
All right, Jay. Tell me, if you will, what would you say your most favorite kind of genre is in the realm of geekdom? What's the thing that you really attach yourself to as far as your nerdisms?
I'd say I'm kind of split between the anime fandom and like D&D and Pathfinder.
Okay, very, very cool. What's your favorite anime? That's tricky. Okay, I'll be more specific. What is your favorite anime series?
Anime series?
Yes.
Probably. See, that's tricky. I do enjoy the One Piece anime, but nevertheless, it's probably not my favorite. I think my favorite series would be...
You could always go with top three.
Yeah, sure. I will accept that.
Okay. That's a little bit easier, I guess. Top three would be... I really enjoyed Bleach when it was, like, new. It eventually went on way too long and should have stopped many times, but it didn't. So I enjoyed it to begin with. And actually, the Netflix, there's a live action that I was actually really impressed with.
I actually really enjoyed it, too. It's fantastic if you didn't see the anime.
Mm-hmm.
But if you saw the anime, yeah.
Anyways. It's kind of a nostalgia trip at that point.
Sure.
And then beyond that, I also really enjoyed watching Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. And my third would probably see... Third spot I kind of reserve for like what's going on currently. So of current anime, I think one of the ones I'm really enjoying would be like Promised Neverland.
Oh really? I actually saw that. I haven't tried it out yet myself. Hmm. I'm hooked on a few other current ones right now.
I really liked Slime and Shield Hero, but I'm also reading them, so I think I prefer reading them.
It's typical for manga.
Yeah.
It's always better. The book's always better than the movie.
Oh, I go light novel.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
It's preferred manga, Dad. Or is it manga?
We're talking to an American and usually English-speaking audience, so manga is probably more relatable. Although with the otaku, yeah, it's manga. Sorry for all of those people.
I pronounce it manga, but then again, my best friend is on the inside like a 5-foot Korean girl. So, but yeah, so Jay, what system of like D&D or role-playing in general got you, or what did you start with? It's like, did you start with like 3.5, 5th edition, Pathfinder, Saga?
You could always throw in the Mighty Python, you know, the intermission. Doodly, 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 doodly,
doodly, doodly, doodly. I prefer the Benny Hill theme.
I actually saw the Yakety Sax, as it's called, is not open for copyright. Like, it's, you know, it's still locked down, so people have been putting up their alternative sort of moshed of music for that, but unfortunately it's just not the same. Jay, you were saying?
So I was first introduced to I suppose I was first introduced to D&D and that kind of thing through Jeff, actually. Well, through Alex, who then introduced me to her father. The first thing we ever did, I don't know specifically which came first, whether it was two characters that the two of us made up named Rin and Maestro for Pathfinder, or if it was a set, was supposed to be like a one-off thing that was taking place in an adapted version of Castle Amber, where we were all characters from Alice in Wonderland.
Interesting.
I made a tiefling based off the Cheshire Cat.
That's really cool.
It was also around then that I realized I really, really enjoy making characters too. And that became one of my biggest pastimes. Is around that time I would make just random characters out of for Pathfinder, and base them on like various things. Like I made Deadpool at one point. I've made my cat Prim.
So, what would you say your favorite class or race or alignment type of like? What's your favorite kind of character to play?
Well, I'm kind of looking forward to it. I do really enjoy playing. Rangers, but I also quite enjoy classes like War Priest. I like classes that would generally be seen as there's better options for like the tiers and stuff like that. But I like trying to like I see numbers really well, so I like playing with the character concept and playing with the builds and making sure that I don't agree with min-maxing. I do think that it's entirely possible to make characters that are very, very, that are good at what they do while also not necessarily like optimization is, I believe, what it's referred to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. So how long have you been doing the podcasting thing?
I started with Rollmongers and I came on very, very briefly for an audition around the time that you guys were starting to try originally to do Mummy's Mask. Apparently that's where that min-maxer thing comes in, because apparently I was seen as a bit of a min-maxer and voted off the island, as it were.
Oh.
But to be fair, I wasn't the only vote. we had several founding fathers and cast members and such, and we were doing a whole bunch of people at the time, and also you were very busy with schoolwork and everything. I'm sorry, please continue.
Well, nevertheless, eventually there were a couple other opportunities where I was kind of like, hey, I was kind of asked by Jeff if I wanted to help out. And eventually, like, a couple of them didn't really pan out, but I'd kind of, by then, I think, at least my understanding of it, I'd gotten my acting chops kind of out. So eventually I was just kind of brought back in, and here I am.
And there you
Started with Star Wars, and yep.
So where are you from? Where do you call home? Because I know it's a bit of a mismatch here, Rolemongers. We've got people from all over the world coming together to put this fabulous content together for.
Well, I'm from the middle of nowhere in Ontario. So it's city of Cortha Lakes. I would say Lindsay, or if you happen to know that area, Dunsford, but even that's not actually where I live. So middle of nowhere.
Middle of nowhere. Right on. And so that's where you're from, if you don't mind me asking. Where do you call home now?
Currently live in the capital. Hopefully I'll be leaving the capital soon enough, though, and heading over to Japan.
Oh my goodness, Japan.
Mm-hmm.
That's Ottawa for our international listeners. The capital of Canada is Ottawa.
Ah, yes.
Just, I was reading.
That is actually very helpful. I didn't actually know the capital.
Yes,
You had two guesses for Ontario. It was either Toronto or Ottawa.
Everybody thinks it's Toronto. Just like everybody thinks New York is American capital, but it's Washington, D.C. is, isn't it, huh?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Which is not in Washington.
Of Columbia.
Yes, it is in the District of Columbia. What states border it? Anybody know?
Let me Google it.
No.
Google Maps. Run that Benny Hill intermission again.
Colorado.
Beside Oregon?
No.
Washington, the state, is by Oregon. D.C. is by Virginia and Maryland. It's on the East Coast. Washington State is West Coast. So
yeah, I knew East Coast. Yeah. Just forgot where Oregon was.
And Colorado, Matt, is directly northeast of me. Like it's in the bottom, like more the west of the U.S. So
okay.
Yeah.
Learn something new every day.
Indeed.
Go ahead.
I was curious, what is your favorite game/podcast that you're a part of right now?
Well, I have a lot invested for Dice Before Dishonor, but I think it still kind of has to get going. I think at the moment, my favorite, the favorite game that I'm involved in would be Star Wars.
And you do a wonderful job with that. I mean, Dr. Leff.
I mean, it's a really easy role for me because I'm just generally sarcastic in real life. So I just kind of put on a Snape voice and go.
You do it very well, Jay.
Thank you.
He does it too well. We actually asked him, we're like, Jay, never break character. Ever. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but Dr. like Jay doesn't talk about dice rolls. He doesn't, you know, even to the DM, he does this like his snooty little, well, what is it now? It's like, oh, I'm sorry, GM. Dr. Leth, we're playing here. He just keeps going and it sells. It's comedy gold as far as I'm concerned. Him and your droid.
I try.
So what do you do for a living, Jay?
Well, I am an educator, so I teach English specifically.
Okay.
As a second language usually, but if I go to Japan, it'll be English as a foreign language.
Interesting. Yeah. Is that what you're planning on doing when you go to Japan?
Yes, that'll also be like my main career when I come back as well. Although I also hope to like teach English academically and teach mathematics and teach any other languages I manage to pick up.
Interesting. Are you planning on still teaching in Canada or coming down to the States for a bit to teach?
I plan on coming back to Canada. As I've been to the States. I have no offense, but I'm not really a fan.
Neither am I. It's
okay. Oh, poor American. You know what? Canada's not much better these days.
Yeah, especially for teachers, but I mean,
yep.
Ontario. Necessary, nevertheless.
Yeah.
So, Jay, have you ever been to any conventions or gatherings or anywhere that maybe some fans could meet you?
I have been to two conventions. One of them was very, very small. It was called G Expo. It's in Ottawa, and I believe the G stands for Gatineau. And the other one that I've been to was Anime North. This was years ago, back when, I don't know if it was new at the time, but it was new to me, was Katekyo Hitman, Hitman Reborn. And I would watch that, and actually I set up a mafia family amongst my friends, and gave them all like the rings from the show to signify like where they sit in the mafia family.
Oh my god. That's dedication.
See, all I did was buy like Star Wars posters and made my son make t-shirts and gave them to you guys going, thank you for being part of the Rollmongers family. You imagine Mr. Tamlin showing up your door with a ring, just silently handing it to you. You're one of us now. You're part of the family. Part of the family.
Part of the family. You know what to do.
Now, just to be clear, those anime visits, the convention visits, were not on behalf of us. This is, you're talking about, you know, no, going there, just, going personally.
I haven't been a Rollmonger long enough to make any professional appearances.
I don't think any of us have yet.
Well, we were actually discussing, Matt, Ryan and I were discussing hitting up a coffee shop and letting it be known that we were going to hang there for 2 hours and smooch with our hometown here in Lindsay, where three of us are, and the Rollmongers editing studio in my second bedroom personally is. So if there was a nerve center, it would be in the center of Korth Lakes. And it's our biggest town. We get we get 10 times the amount of plays and hits and downloads coming out of our own town here than
I guarantee you that is definitely 100% due to your amazing, amazing advertising placement at the drive-thru for Tim Hortons.
Yeah, guilty as charged. My back deck does just face a drive-thru beyond the bushes, and I put up a little banner there. The fact that I always carry our business card in my pocket, and we have a local college, Sir Sanford Fleming, and anybody that walks into our store where that has like a Bazinga t-shirt or a Batman t-shirt, I'm like, hey, how you doing? Nice t-shirt. Where'd you get it? Listen, go, hey, you know, if you're listening, watching that, or, you know, if you walk in one of those, I bet you like these guys. I don't even say it's us. I just like, here, check this out. And give them the card and let's sell the podcast. And they go, oh, wow, thanks. Or they just stare at me and like drop the mic kind of thing with the card and back away slowly. You know, I get all kinds of reactions. So I think Jay has been sort of tortured enough.
No, there's no such thing as enough torture for Jay.
So you talk about going to Japan in your future. You talk about coming back here and bringing my daughter back to me in one piece, Mr. Tamlin.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Why we're going together.
We recently posted a picture of your wedding, you and Alexandria, and that great shot and that great sort of Lord of the Rings robe that she had going on with all the bridesmaids pulling her back from you and all the groomsmen pulling you back from her on the lake, the giant tree. It's a beautiful shot. I spammed it all over social media and everything. And because we are on Instagram now, Facebook's been taken down. We have SoundCloud. We have Spreaker. We have iTunes. We have Spotify. We have iHeartRadio. We have Podcatcher. We are everywhere that I can afford to put us. and if you want to help with that. But one last question for Mr. Tamlin each. Matt?
Ooh, only one? All right. How about this? Are there any projects we've got going here at Rollmongers coming up in the future that you're particularly interested in?
I think for me, the most interesting thing I could say would be I'm interested in seeing where you guys go with your evil podcast. I, unfortunately, due to timing and way that the scheduling works, I can't really participate in that one, but it's one of my biggest goals is I've got a couple characters that have always been rather on the darker side, and I, even in high school, I used to be in the drama club, and I used to play, I ended up auditioning for one of the plays at one point, and the role that I really wanted to get, I didn't, but what I auditioned for was the main villain. It was, for those who might have seen it, it was the play Arsenic and Old Lace. So I was trying for the older brother who is a murderer and just kind of comes home and visits and tries to hide a body.
I was in that play. I did Reverend Harper. Grew a beard when I was 19.
Nice.
At 19, I grew in my beard, and it was red. They called me Captain Gingerbeard because I have brown hair, but apparently on the mother's side, red highlights. So my beard came in ginger, even though my hair is brown. And I got a lot of teasing from the guys. I got a lot of, hello, Mr. Ball, from the ladies. And I'm like, I'm an actor. I'm in my fourth year of drama class at high school, and I'm Reverend Harper. But unfortunately, a lot of us, myself included, was a little bit obsessed with the band I was in and playing a lot of D&D as a dungeon master and tanked a lot of my lines because I wasn't focusing on the play. Luckily, several cast members did the same thing, and you know, it never aired. So kudos to Mr. Tamblin for actually pulling off a play. Much respect.
Pulling
always
off a play. That was the play. Was fourth year basically of being part of the drama club. I started in like grade 10, so there's quite a few plays.
Oh, are you listening, Kapikaze? You'd be so proud of this Canadian here. So Aiden?
Yes.
He's not gonna be in the hot seat ever again, so he doesn't make public appearances. He'll never go to an anime wearing our banner, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is it.
No, that's true. I guess one last question I would have is, do you have any merchandise that fans could buy, and where would they be able to find it?
Well, being part of the Rollmongers crew, I suppose there's a Rollmongers merchandise.
Fair enough. Do you have any side merchandise that you're doing for yourself? Any side businesses we aren't quite aware of at the moment?
Nope. Just Teespring Rollmongers, really.
I think Aiden is referring to the recent character t-shirts. Like, we have a t-shirt for Star Wars Dawn of Defiance Saga Campaign. We shot first, and it's the cast from the awesome, awesome commissioned art that Alexandria bought for the cast. We also have, we started our first quote, and we have Good Cop, Airlock, Zin. You know, old man's from Frank's line. And it's a given that we're going to, like, dig up great lines from every character that's in the show. As well as just like character portraits, like we already have Ashley Florence's legendary cougar, Roxy. And it says Roxy Roller, and you know, she's the cougar's like rolling dice, and a lot of that kind of things in the works that the timing with the shows isn't really lining up. But
that's my theory. There's just too many good moments for Dr. Leth and my various other characters that nothing has been decided upon yet. So
okay.
Nothing specifically for me.
Well, Frank Hamilton's in the house, just arrived. We'll give him the last question. Frank, if every question possible has already been asked Mr. Tamlin, what original question could you ask him at the very, very bottom of the list? You just suffered an interview.
What? What? I like just got here. I mean...
Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Does it not say attack of opportunity behind your head on your green screen? I just took that as a... It's, come on. You're in the show now.
All right. So here's my question for you. When you explain your hobbies or things like that, especially role-playing stuff, to people that you don't know, how do you tell them that this is something that you're really into? I mean, how do you go about explaining that you pretend to be somebody in a storybook kind of a setting and not come off sounding a bit odd?
I think that's a generational thing. For me, I've never really had that particular problem. I mean, I used to, but since things like The Big Bang Theory or various other TV shows or like forms of media have kind of come out and talked about geek culture and fandoms and that kind of thing. And as time has gone by, that particular fandom has grown to such a large proportion and include so many different, it's an umbrella term. You've got like Whovians, you've got anime fans, you've got otaku in general, you've got D&D people, you've got LARPers, and they're all connected in various ways. And I feel like it's now a lot more reasonable to say like, yeah, I play D&D or I do this or I do that. And actually specifically with D&D, I get a lot of people asking like, oh, that's really cool. Can you teach me? How does this work? And it's interesting to be able to apply it to many different places. Like I was actually during my degree for learning how to teach, we were tasked with coming up with an activity. My idea for an activity was if my students were proficient enough, I would have them play a D&D, a very simplified D&D game, so that they could then take on a role of a character and disassociate with themselves, being able to like to take on that mask, but also then practice conversational English and business English and like having to calculate up their numbers and their roles and going forward, that kind of thing.
Interesting.
That's awesome. That's beautiful. That's a beautiful question, Frank. I mean, they never suffered the dark days that we suffered, the slings and arrows of prejudice and wedgies that people myself and Frank's age have suffered, so that our sons can walk down the street with a Batman shirt proudly. It just really just gets me right there.
Definitely gotten to an interesting point when you can be upset with someone for being prejudiced against people like me.
People like me.
Oh, like people that
that's
like
dangerous close like to you, someone saying like you people.
Well, no, but I mean, like, it's interesting that it's gotten to the point where someone judging someone for what they like is just bizarre and not really something you would think of. And almost to the point where like geekdom and geek culture has kind of taken the forefront.
Yes. Thank you, Marvel movies. And thank you, Jay Tamlin, for being on the show. I'm GM Jeff Ball, and this is Attack of Opportunity with co-host Matt Witt.
Hey, have a good night, everybody.
Aiden Willems.
Adios.
And a very brief cameo from our legendary executive producer, Frank Hamilton.
Later, guys.
Thank you, Jay.
It was fun.
And we're out.